Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? Happy Thursday to everyone. Hopefully you're all having a great day so far. Got a lot of stuff to get into today. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. So yesterday we talked briefly about Urban Meyer and his situation. Things are getting worse. He's on a paid leave right now. Football tonight, the Bears and the Ravens. College football starts in a little under a month. There is a lot going on and a lot to get to. Again, welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR and we are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Get on down there and let them know that PLR sent you, and you can get 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. You can also become a club member. Get a locker that backs up to a humidor and never worry about your sticks going bad. And now Maduro serves beer and wine as well. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located locally in Chandler, Arizona. Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get down there and let them know that PLR sent you and take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you may have. We got a lot of stuff to get into today. Today is a very special day. Like I said, the Bears play today and unfortunately will not be sending my usual text back and forth with my good friend, my best friend that I've had my entire life who passed a couple weeks ago. I want to definitely dedicate the show out to him today. Today would have been his 50th. He was the music producer of our show, did many of our themes, our opening music. Mr. DJ Sean Haley, one of, like I said, I've never lived a moment day without knowing him. Every day he is sorely missed. This show is dedicated to him. He is a huge, huge Bears fan, and I know he would have been glued to the TV tonight when text messages and tweets would have been going back and forth talking about the Bears tonight, as well a huge White Sox fan, a huge Illini fan, and wrote many articles for the Sports Cave as well. Just an all-around individual. Like I said, sorely missed, passed a couple weeks ago, and things are getting right, but they never will be. But today would have been his 50th, so I want to dedicate this show to him and give a big shout-out to my man, DJ Sean Haley. A lot of topics to talk about. I really am going to get into this Urban Meyer thing because he seems to be living a really hypocritical life. Says one thing, does another, or shows another, I'll say. And it shouldn't be new to anyone because he left a mess at Florida. I think there were over 30 arrests of his football players while he was down there. So we're going to get into that. Like I said, we're going to dive into a little bit of this preseason football. Still some players unsigned. We'll do all that. Any topic you want to bring up, if you want to give us a call, 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. That is the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Do have a call awaiting. Appreciate your patience. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. To whom are the folks you're speaking to?
Hello, Paul. This is Lou once again.
Lou, my man, what's happening today?
Well, all I can say is, are you ready for some football?
Oh, it happens tonight. Unfortunately, from what I'm hearing, Mitchell Trubisky will not be playing tonight. Which is no big deal. It's a preseason game. The Bears have five of them, like the Ravens. So it will be, you know, I call it the Hall of Fame game, the free money game for the for the NFL is played on basically a high school field. There's no real hitting. You know, you don't want to get your starters hurt. Starters may see, you know, a series or two. This is really just an exhibition highlighting the fact that there's some good players going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but it's still an honor to have the game and, you know, have the induction ceremony, even though that's not till the weekend, but still.
Oh, it's great. On hitting. I mean, it's such a relief to know that football is coming, you know, coming fast. I mean, college football kicks off September 1st, and technically
August
that's less than a month
actually.
Away. August 25th, excuse me. Yes, you're right. You're right.
I know, a lot
of
people are
23 days.
Oh, come on, that's week zero. That doesn't really count. Oh, come on, really?
Hey, look, it's live football.
Because like a top 10 team plays playing against a scrub team, you know, it's like, oh, we call it exhibition. Oh, really? I didn't think college football would be
exhibition. Yeah, well, they count.
Yes.
Well, I believe they call it an exhibition when Michigan lost to Appalachian State.
Right.
So,
hey, football is football.
Sometimes you're not lying. You are not lying. So, you know what? One of the things I want to get your take on a couple of things, and I want to shoot a couple of things your way. So,
sure.
What's on your mind today?
Well,
you go first. What's on?
Ask you what's on your mind.
No. I said what's happening that you'd like to talk about today.
All right. Well, for one thing, my Yankees are playing against our dreaded, hated rivals of all. The Red Sox in a four-game series. Now, a lot of people are thinking, you know, like, well, if the Yankees don't do anything in this series, the division's all wrapped up, and we're gonna be gone. I don't believe that. We still have, you know, six games between that and the end of the year, and depending on what happens with September, you know, we can easily climb back in. It's August 2nd, not September. 22nd, okay? We got plenty of time. Every time you see when the Yankees go into a mini slump or whatever, like, oh, well, we better get their act together. I'm like, don't you think you're jumping the gun a little bit? I hate when the so-called Yankee fans say, oh, well, we don't get our act together soon. It's going to be over. Guys, we have plenty of time.
I agree with you to a point.
It's not like we're the, it's not like we're the Orioles.
Wow. I think as long as the Yankees don't get swept, especially with Aaron Judge being out, then they still have a chance to be okay. Here's where I will say I disagree just a little bit. If they get swept, they go down 8.5 games. And then those games, because for the next stretch of like 20 games, it's kind of a weak schedule to be perfect. I mean, this is their stretch where they win their games with the exception of the Red Sox. But if they go down 8.5 games and they're going to be without Aaron Judge, you know, for the next 21, 22 days, that's going to be that puts more pressure on them to have to win those other games, because you don't want to get to September 1 down 8.5 games to the Red Sox. Even if you use the math and say, well, they still play six more times, that's only making up six more games. So you don't want to be down more than what your head-to-heads will allow you to catch up. So I think as long as they don't get swept, I agree with you. No big deal. Taking 2 out of 3 would be great, even if you only win one. You know, that leaves you 6.5.
Well, it's a four-game series.
But you definitely don't want to. Oh, four-game. I'm sorry. You definitely don't want to get swept. Well, then it's even more poignant then, because if they lose, if they get swept, they're now down 9.5. You don't want to be 9.5 games back, because that's way more games than that you can make up. You know, if you worst-case scenario, split. If you split, you're still in the same position, 5.5 back, but you can't go down. This is the one series where you can't go down. So, I don't like blowing things out of proportion. But then also, you got to keep in mind, even though I know you're the biggest Yankees fan, Red Sox are really good, and that's not a team you want to be down 8.5 games to, 9.5 games to on September 1. It's just not good business. Now, do I think the Yankees get in the playoffs no matter what? Yes. But I don't think they want to play that one game. So this may be their biggest series.
I get it, but I still wouldn't know, it's time to hit the panic button, even if you don't win. Because you still got most of August and all of September, and, you know, I've seen this happen before. I've seen teams with leads with 2 weeks to go in the season, and they have collapsed. So even if there's another way, I hope that I think it's going to be, you know, I'm not hitting the panic button just yet.
No, and you can't. Yeah. I wouldn't call it the panic button. I would say that would be the concern button. The one good thing
concern
that plays and helps the Yankees, Chris Sale is starting to do what Chris Sale does every year. Around August, September, he starts to pitch his worst. And as a diehard White Sox fan, I'm familiar with his, you know, August swoon. I don't know if it's pacing. I don't know what it is. That too, huh? You know, it goes back to, do you remember when the Nationals were in the playoffs? And
yes,
they pretty much shut. Oh my goodness! I just was about to say his name, and it's Strasburg down because of arm. And it was like, well, why didn't you just start him later in the year or skip starts when you know the playoffs rolled around, you would need him. I'm starting to think that about Chris Sale. Maybe you don't pitch him every you know on his normal rotation in April, May, and June and July because. Come July, he starts to almost look like he tires out. Maybe you skip starts on him early in the year, so that way he's fresh. And just different ways of, you know, the one thing that I've noticed about baseball, and it's the one thing about basketball that sometimes drives me crazy, but baseball doesn't do it, so it drives me crazy for the other thing. They are so resistant to change, and nothing ever – everything has to be the way it was. But yet it's still – we don't do anything else in baseball. We don't have restarters. We don't have relievers pitching two innings anymore. All that stuff we can change. But messing with our starting rotation early in the year, maybe having a six-player rotation to start the season for pitchers like Sale or Strasburg or my man in L.A., I can't think of his name, Kershaw. Maybe that helps them
Kershaw.
So that way you have them fresh. Yeah, maybe – these are things they need down the line to be fresh, but we'll never know.
Now, I got some news for you on your neck of the woods. By a former on our Coyotes player.
Say that. You broke
Shane,
up to that one part. Shane Doan?
I think it's like Shane Doan, yes.
Shane
Doan,
yeah.
Jersey retired.
Yeah, Shane Doan is... You know, when the Coyotes were going through a lot of stuff and they would always ask Doan if he wanted to be traded or, you know, was it time for him to move on? Or, Shane Doan, to his credit, probably missed out on some serious Stanley Cup runs because of his loyalty to the Coyotes. I don't think there's ever been a more loyal Coyote ever than Shane Doan. And like I said, almost to his dismay, almost like Adam Jones in Baltimore that could have been traded and his loyalty just to stay in Baltimore with the team that he knows and that he loves. It's amazing, but that's what Shane Doan was for the Coyotes.
Yeah, so he's going to be also with the team before they even moved from Winnipeg. They were the last of the original Winnipeg Jets.
Yep. Shane Doan, like I said, probably the most loyal guy that you'll ever see in nowadays hockey. Listen, I want to get your thoughts on something, and I'm going to take heat for this because I always do, from Alabama people. I was looking at the Alabama schedule. And I know what they play in conference, and everyone's going to tell me it's an SEC conference. And as I say every year, the SEC is a very top-heavy conference. The middle is really soft, and the bottom is really the bottom. But I'm looking at their out-of-conference schedule. And Louisville might be the toughest out-of-conference team they play. But their other teams out-of-conference are Louisiana Lafayette, Arkansas State, and the Citadel. Now, I want you to tell me any other team that would play an out-of-conference schedule
that includes Arkansas State, Alabama, and the Citadel, when it comes time to put them in a bowl game or compete for a national title in a playoff, that those three teams would not be held against them.
Hmm. So what you're telling me, who would be a better fit? What about Nebraska?
What I'm saying is, if Nebraska out of conference schedule was Arkansas State, the Citadel, and Louisiana Lafayette, and they had a loss somewhere, how much would we say that out of conference schedule was weak and it sucked, and we would hold it against them? But yet, that will not be held against Alabama, because it's a terrible out of conference. It's a terrible out of conference schedule. It's
right.
Really ridiculously weak, and I think that it's time that we start giving them some heat for having such a weak out of conference schedule.
So what you're asking is
who has
the weaker out of conference schedule is what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, can you name another team that would play that week of an out of conference schedule and still be regarded as a top football team when it comes time to put teams in the playoff?
It's a tough one.
Because there isn't. They get to do it every single year. Every single year. And then lastly, because I know you got to jump on me in a second, do you believe that Urban Meyer had no knowledge of what went on at Ohio State?
I hate to say it, but I think he did, and he's covering it up. I really think he knows something. He's not fessing up to it.
I'm with you 100%.
Did you say he's taking paid leave or unpaid leave? Because I thought it was unpaid leave.
Nope, he's on paid leave. He's getting his money.
Okay, he is getting it. Okay, my mistake. I think I must have read it wrong. I thought I was suspended without pay. All right, my mistake.
Nope. He's sitting at home getting a check consistently while they figure it out. Most people now do not survive these paid leave of absences. Usually that's your start on being out the door.
Yes.
But I you know what? He didn't report it, which is what he's supposed to do per his contract, report it to the higher-ups, then he needs to be let go because he didn't follow the rules. Now, remind you, this is the same Urban Meyer that said about a year ago about NCAA basketball coaches that they still have to follow rules. There are rules out there. They have to abide by the rules. You can't expect kids to follow rules if the adults don't follow the rules. These are Urban Meyer's words, and if they're not going to follow the rules, then maybe they should be let go. So using Urban Meyer's words, if that's the case, if it's proven that he knew, then maybe he should be let go.
I think he should.
I mean, that's living up to his own standard and his own words.
And that's what makes him a hypocrite.
That's exactly what makes him a hypocrite. Just everyone remember some things. This is the same guy, the exact same guy in Florida, who had almost 30 players arrested during his tenure. 30 players. But he was able to hide because who was at Florida while he was at Florida? Tim Tebow. Who's the more stand-up guy in sports that you could think of than Tim Tebow? There isn't. So...
Uh-huh.
He had that Tim Tebow shield out in front of him the whole time. While the whole time he's preaching a sermon in the front, he's dealing the drugs out of the back. Come on, man.
Yeah.
And I think it finally caught up to him. You know, I always find it funny how people quit for their family, but then take a job right after. I'm going to quit and spend time with my family, but I'll take this ESPN job. You know, football is it takes away too much of my family time. What, Ohio State? What, you looking for a coach? Woohoo, hey, yo. I'm right here.
Really?
Yeah, my hands in the air. Come get me. So, I don't know. My question is, does Ohio State, what is it about Ohio State that makes coaches lie and cheat? Because we saw it with Trestle.
when you're sitting there with him, I mean, what is it about Ohio State that makes you a liar and a cheater? Or do they just hire liars and cheaters?
Maybe they just hire liars and cheaters.
Hey.
Or is there something in the water? No, they just hire liars and cheaters.
There it is, my man. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we stand, and that's what's going on.
I couldn't get some of your notes in clear because there was some stag, I think, on the line. One of us was breaking up. Either it was you or me. I'm not really sure, but that's why I couldn't get everything all together.
No worries. It's like, I hear it a little bit. It's like a line that's like grabbing.
Just real quick
before I let you go, since our line is breaking up, Georgia's out-of-conference schedule includes South Carolina and Georgia Tech.
Hmm.
They have a couple of skinnies, too, but they threw those two on. One's a rivalry game, and, I take that back. South Carolina's in their conference, but they at least took a Georgia Tech team. So, just curious.
Yeah.
All right, my man. Well, we are back tomorrow, Friday, and hopefully you have a chance to hop on.
I will. As the words of a man, I can't. She's breaking up.
All right, buddy. Thanks for giving us a call in. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
That's Lou, friend of the program. Always great when he gives a call in. I don't believe Urban Meyer. I don't. Just don't believe him. I want to get into this Dak Prescott thing and the anthem. Okay. Listen, let me say this real quick and real simple. I firmly believe that owners have a right to say what they want. I do. I really do. If owners want to say, hey, look, you can't do this, you can't do that, they have a right. It's their product. I get that. I do. And Dak has a right to come out and say, I get that too. But it's not what you say, it's how you say what you say. And things that I've learned in life, usually when someone is agreeing with you, when certain people are agreeing with you, that kind of tells you something about the way you said what you said. When you have Jason Whitlock hopping on, smiling and hopping on your side, 9 times out of 10, think about what you said. You got Breitbart hopping on your side, kind of think about what you said. There is nothing wrong with Dak Prescott saying, hey, look, I don't really want to be involved in anthem protests. I want to stand up. I want to do the national anthem. There's nothing wrong with that. But the way he said it and the way it came across was, I don't want anything to do with these causes. I don't want anything to do with this. Yeah, I stand behind causes. Yeah, but this is, look, Dak, we get you, man. We do. There are a lot of players that don't choose to sit for the national anthem. I can agree with it. I stand up for the national anthem. I understand that. But it's the way you said it that kind of made it dismissive to the people who've been doing what they feel is right. It doesn't mean that you're wrong. It, to me, doesn't mean that you're a sellout or you're a Tom or you did this or you did that. I just wish you would have thought of another way, a more thoughtful way, to not throw the people that are doing what they feel is right completely under the bus. I wish there would have been a different rephrasing of the way that you said it. That's all. You know, I'm not ready to say, oh, well, he's on that side and Dak is a Tom and Dak did this and Dak did that. I don't believe that at all. I don't. I mean, I don't personally know you, but you don't come across as that type of person to me whatsoever that says, well, you know, owner says it, I'm on owner's side. You know, I've heard people say, hey, look, you don't want to lose your endorsements. Maybe you don't. But who wants to lose endorsements? Well, he shouldn't have just said anything at all. Well, no, if everyone else has a right to speak, you have a right to speak. That's not the issue. It was the delivery. You know, it's like me serving your dinner on a trash can. The meal may be good, but the presentation was bad. And there's different ways to have said it. Like, look, hey, in Dallas, we have different rules. We have different beliefs. Hey, look, you know what? I know these guys that have knelt for the anthem, and I understand the controversy that this is going on. But for me, I'm going to stand for the anthem. I still believe that there's issues that are bigger than football. I believe that there are other things out there that need to be fought for. But personally, I just don't believe this is the stage that it should be fought on. And so for that reason, I stand, and I'm going to follow the mandate that our team has set. But that's not going to stop me from speaking up and speaking out when I can about some of these things that are going on. That's a way to say it. When your owner comes out and says, I don't care what the rules say, we're going to toe the line, and you come out there and say, I don't care, all this stuff, this isn't a place where I'm going to toe that line. It's delivery. So, like I said, there's a lot of times where you can look at what's said and look at who's on your side of saying it, and that should make you think about, maybe what I said, there was a different way to phrase it. And when Breitbart and when Jason Whitlock and when those guys are saying, and the Will Canes of the world are saying, wow, this is what he said, and he's 100% right, you may want to stop and think, maybe this was something that I should have said to express how I feel, but maybe, just maybe, there was a different way to say it. Because, like I said, when those guys are behind you, when they're saying, oh, you did exactly what's right, you may have done exactly what's right. But the Breitbarts, the Will Canes, the Colin Cowherds, them thumb-upping you, Jason Whitlocks, maybe there's a rephrase. We're back tomorrow. The Cave Show, thank you for joining me. This is PLR. Make sure you're following us on social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all under at the Sports Cave, where Cave is with the K. SportsCave.com. A lot of good articles on there where Cave is always with the K. And you can get me at PLR on Sports on Twitter. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining. This has been the Cave Show. This is PLR. Everyone have a great rest of your Thursday.